Morning, everyone. There are two readings this morning, and the first is from Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, and then the second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so we are not free to carry out our good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And then 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Thanks, Dave. Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series, and tonight we're starting another evening series as well. So hopefully, as you leave this morning, you can pick up one of these. It explains what they're about. So this morning is looking at frontline living and looking at how we actually apply those different things, those different gifts that we've heard about, and how we work them out into our everyday lives. Because if we're actually believing these things, we should be then living them out. And if we're living them out, they should be having an impact on the world around us, on those front lines where we are meeting people who maybe have had no experience of God or church before and may never step through the doors of a church if they have that choice. But we can actually make a difference, make an impact, if we're actually living it out for ourselves, by allowing the Holy Spirit to equip us and work through us in this complicated and ever messy world that we're living in. You only need to look at what's been happening in the news this week to see that a lot of what has just been read is not happening in parts of the world. There are people out there who are doing their utmost to stop those sorts of things, the good things, being reality for people. So this morning we're looking at the first of these, and the title is Secure in Our Relationships. And according to a survey, 1 in 10 people do not have a single friend to call their own, while a lonely 1 in 5 confess to rarely or never feeling loved. Relate, the relationship charity, carried out the survey last year and said, while the vast majority do have at least one close friend, it is concerning that 1 in 10 do not. We live in a world of social media where we can have hundreds of friends online. But the reality is that if there were 5,000 people in this survey which looked at all aspects of relationships, and they found that 91% have at least one good friend. But nearly half of those polled, 42%, say they have no friends at work to make that everyday routine more bearable. They feel alone in the workplace. And 1 in 10 feel alone in the home. That's kind of worrying and scary at the same time. Because each of us needs someone to love and care for, and know that they will do the same for us if we are going to live out healthy lives. Lives that bear fruit. But why? Well, I believe we were created to be, by God, to be in relationship. First and foremost, with God. And this is seen when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandments were. And his reply was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your body, with everything you've got. Love God. And then we were also created by God to be in relationship with each other, because Jesus then went on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love God with everything that you are, everything that you have, the follow on from that is, surely then, when you are secure in that relationship, you are then living that out in the relationships that are around you. That as you know you are loved, you love others the same. For the Apostle Paul, we see in the two readings we've just heard that love was of vital importance. It's top of the list. It comes first in the list of the gifts of the fruit of the, and the fruit of the Spirit. Paul's desire for us as we read these letters is that we will be like Christ. If we are following Jesus, if we're saying, I'm a Christian, there should be nothing more important to us than being like him, than being Christ-like. And I believe that the heartbeat of our faith is transformation. That each and every single day, we are becoming more like him. Less like we were us yesterday, more like Christ tomorrow, and today being transformed from the inside out. Because as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. It's not that we are looking for that day, that glorious day as we were singing about before, where one day Jesus will return. But right here, right now, today, we can live it out. We can live it out because people will see us changing for the better. They'll start seeing less of Ian Clarkson and hopefully more of Jesus. Today, tomorrow, the day after. Hopefully this time next year, I'm more like Jesus next year than I am here and now. You can put me to the test on that if you want. But we're being transformed into his likeness in community, that we actually show Jesus is Lord, that we give him the glory to his name, that we become a fruitful member of his body, the church, as we become more like him. That people start to ask the question, what's different? What's different about you? What's different about that place you call church? There's something that is changing in you, and I want to know what it is. But above all else, we are to be secure in our relationship with God. We might fall out with each other. It happens. Just look at the people around you. You wouldn't normally hang out with all these people. Seriously. I know there are people here who have been here since the beginning who still don't know who you lot all are and just wish they knew everybody. But if we're being the church that God calls us to be, there will constantly be new people coming in that we think, who the heck are they? What are they doing here? Why are they dressed like that? But the reality is that doesn't matter, because above all else, we are to be secure in our relationship with God because of what Jesus has already done for us. That the reality is he was willing and loved us so much to exchange a crown like that one for a crown like this one. Anytime today. Wake up, Nick. Thank you. That's the reality of how important your relationship with God is to him. That he gave Jesus, who was willing to put aside that crown to go to the cross wearing that crown. But the reality is it did not stop there. And God raised him and gave him back that crown. And he is now on the throne in heaven. And he's crying out for us as his bride, as his church, to make the reality of all that he's done for the people of this world, this complex, messed up, broken relationship world, that above all else, they will come to know God's love for them for themselves. And the crazy thing is, he wants me and you to do it. He wants me and you to be his ambassadors and his messengers. In Galatians 5, we see that we're not to be trapped or captured by doing what we think is lawfully right or giving in to those desires, that long list of things. And some of those actually kind of seem appealing at certain times of the week, but that we will be seeking to live lives that are free, lives that are lived out in wholeness for God. And how we model that in today's messy world makes a profound impact on those around us. That if we don't give in to anger, that if we don't give in to lust, that if we don't give in to all these other desires, or we treat people differently rather than what they expect us to do, that if that person who's a pain in the neck at work, we actually say, can I talk to you, rather than just ignoring them like everyone else. Or that person at school who's a bully, actually go up to them and say, will you please stop? Because there's something about you that's not right. We've got to be people who are willing to make that difference. But our faith has to be expressed through love. This is what Paul's crying out for. When we follow Christ, we have life in all its fullness, the love of God in us, and we have been raised from death to life. Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they, that's you and me, may have life and live it to the full. If you've never been baptized, or you wonder what's so significant about baptism, I think that sums it up. that symbolic act of that we're saying, the old me I'm putting to death, so that when I come back up, I am living a new life with Christ. Because Christ is enough for me. That I want my life to make a difference. That I want my life to mean something. That I want to be able to make the world a better place. Not for my glory, but for the glory of God. That's powerful. That act of going under the water and coming back up means that we are putting to death the old us and coming up in newness of life. And it might just be a symbol, but it means that we are acknowledging the transformation that can happen only through God and by the work of His Spirit. So if you've never been baptized, give that some thought this week. Is that what you want? A new life with Christ? But Jesus didn't just talk it, He lived it out. His example was love in action. If you read through John's gospel and through his letters, you'll see that three times in his gospel, the command to love rings out. And five times in his letters, the command to love. It's not a request, it's a command to love. I don't know about you, but I don't always like being told what I should be doing. But when I read those words and I look at the example of Jesus, what else can I do but listen and follow? But we're also to be secure in our relationship with others. And this is the crunch. This is where it gets tough. Because people don't always love us back. Sometimes people hurt us. But if we are secure in our relationship with God, then we need to learn how to be secure in our relationship to others. That if we place God first, then whatever anybody else does to us is secondary. In the reality, it shouldn't matter as much as what we're doing before God. But we are secure in our relationship because of who we already are in Christ. And showing love to others matters because it's providing evidence. If you read in 1 John 3:23, it says, "And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." This command from Jesus is found in John 13, 34 to 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, not if we preach, not if we do amazing things, not if we tell people of their sin, but if we love one another. Our faith in Christ is proved by how we love each other and those around us, and how we love those around us in the same way that Jesus loves us." So when people question whether there is a God or not, is He actually real? Does He actually really love and care for us? Here's what should be happening. That as people ask those questions, other people around them should be saying, "Well, I know it's true because I know such and such." I was going to pick some people out, but I don't want to embarrass them. "But I know that person, and they're a Christian, and the way they treat me and the way they show their love to me and to others helps me to realize there is a God, because I know they couldn't do it in their own strength." There should already be for an answer to that question, is there really a God? If we as a church, and as part of the church of this city, and as part of the church of this nation, are living out all that Christ has called us to be. Because we're meant to be the living proof of God's love for people that are hurting, for people that are lonely, for people that are looking for a Saviour. If you don't believe me, listen to these words. 1 John 4, verses 9, 11, and 12. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. As his disciples and followers, then, we are the living proof of the existence of God. Our actions will speak louder than our words. We won't need to tell people if we're loving them in the first place. This God who loves each and every person in here, but each and every person out there as well. Whereas we heard in the beginning, this world where 1 in 10 are looking for someone to call friend, someone to share life with. This love that we are to show is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul stated, it's one of the first that he meant, it's the first one that he mentions. And over the weeks, we'll be looking at all the others. Are you willing to grow into all that God wants you to be? Because fruit takes time to grow. It's not about coming up to church and just getting a quick fix, but about building a character and trust that starts first and foremost and has its foundation in God and in all that Jesus has done for us. And it's about being known for being Christ, like Christ, in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. But it's about being secure in our relationship with God. And maybe today for you, that means for the first time to accept God's love for you in Jesus. That maybe you've never actually come to that place where you said, I accept what Jesus did for me. Can I encourage you to have the courage to accept it for yourself today? But it's about being secure in our relationship with each other. What can you do to show that love today, tomorrow? Will you love those that feel unloved? Those that we might consider unlovable? Those that society might push to one side? Will you allow God to work in and through you by his Holy Spirit to reach those people who have no one to call friend? If, as we read in Galatians 5:24, we have nailed all these former things to the cross and crucified them there, then what is it that you and I can do today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, to show the love of Christ as we continue to grow and bear fruit in his image? Forgetting what is past, looking to what is to come, let's live it out here today. Let us be the people that God wants us to be. Let us be his love to people who are feeling unloved. Let's pray. As I was preparing this message, I came across the prayer of John Stott, and it's a prayer that he said every day. And I've taken a bit of that, and I just want to pray that out today. This is a prayer that John Stott. John was an author, a theologian, and a cleric over the years, who passed away in 2011. But this is part of a prayer that he said every morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that I may live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy upon me. Lord, those are amazing words. Help me and my brothers and sisters here to have your love and mercy for those that we meet every day, in every situation we face, that we would give you the glory for what you do in and through us by your love. Amen.